The advertisement of my today's guest has found me on Instagram, and it got me by talking why investing in our own skills is so crucial. Nix Jansons leads business at NJ Media. Their mission is to help 100,000 architect companies all over the world to grow. In Latvia, NJ Media helps small service-based businesses to scale their performance from 3 to 10K per month. And with Nix, we talk about how he leads his team, why they don't refer to each other as employees, but rather as family, how marketing space is changing, and then Nix shares what you should do if you want to sell your services for a certain price. Well, why you should first buy services from someone else, at least for the same price. And this analogy you can apply to everything in your life. This is a Non-Cool People podcast. Enjoy, cool listener.
I want to talk to you, first of all, about how did you get to understand what do you like, what you are passionate about?
I'm actually passionate about PlayStation games. That's first of all. I played right now God of War Ragnarok. It's the best game ever. Before that, the main game I was playing was Elden Ring. Amazing game. Before that, Last of Us 2. I'm passionate about that, and I'm passionate about mixed martial arts. Mm. Business-wise, I didn't start with a passion. So my first three kind of ideas, all of them failed because there was missing this one crucial big part of it. I was doing something that I think is useful and I think people wanted, but actuality, nobody wanted it and nobody cared about it. And then I stumbled into this realization that I should look for problems that are for businesses, problems that are facing people, and try to solve their problem with my solution. And that's why I created NJ Media, because there was actual a problem. Most businesses didn't know how to get more clients. They didn't know how much it cost for them to get a client. They were doing a lot of branding, but not direct response marketing or social media marketing, which can bring a lot more results than typical marketing, such as brochures, such as flyers, such as radio, such as other stuff, where it is harder to track the results from the campaigns, from the ads, and from the marketing. So that problem I found, and then I started to do stuff. And it wasn't like everybody was like, wow, this is so cool, I want to buy. No, it was quite the opposite. So I ran my first campaigns. I generated the leads, which are potential people who wanted my services. I was running an ad which says, book a free consultation with me. Around 64 people signed up. I was paying around 10 euros to Facebook to kind of get one sign up, one lead. And from those 64 people, I only closed one person. And that one person paid me like 330 euros. His name is Renners. He owns a karate club, actually like very close to where I live in Riga. And he was my first client. And I actually lost money on it because I spent like 600 something euros. And I got back 330, but I was like, amazing. This is so cool. Like somebody gave me money to quickly go to them, 2 hours, fix their problem. And they just gave me money for it. And then I started to get better results with sales because I wasn't good at it. I wasn't good at closing people, talking with people. I basically sucked at it because I had like, I think 20 something meetings and only then the first guy actually paid me. After that, I just did it more and more and more. I bought a lot of courses about sales, about how to generate leads, sales leads, and then it went better. Because right now I have done probably 2,000 plus sales calls, and I would say I'm really good at it. I wouldn't say like the best at it, but I'm decent at it. And then now we have a team of people who are closing and onboarding clients, and we're doing that in Latvian market and also abroad. And now the game has evolved. And with these 4 years, we have already served 1,390 plus clients already, and from all over the place, not just Latvia. And the business last year did around 600,000. This year, it will be probably about 900, close to 900. But the goal is, of course, to scale a lot faster. Now, the goal is to get to 300,000, and then the goal is to get to 1 million per month. And I know friends and I have people who I know who make way more. Like the biggest guy makes 11 million a month. And I have seen them. I have spoken with them. I have, like, I don't know, handshaking with them.
You look at them and think, okay, if this guy could do it, we are in the same room, I can do it too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But of course, all of these numbers, those are cash collected, not profit. There's a big difference, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of whom are listening, now I have this realization that there's a lot better ways to make more money. And in this sense, I don't mean everybody should start a business. I don't mean that. Doing this is more stressful. If you can, it's very stressful, I would say. And there's a much better opportunities, such as I have a team member who's like 21 years old. And in 1 month, he got from sales commissions more than 5K netto, like on hand as a 21 year old.
That's
when I was 21,
of
course, it's crazy. It's crazy, you know? But that's what I meant was there's a lot more opportunities also not making your own business, because you can make 10, 20, 30, 40,000 a month, in your pocket, not owning a business, just working in a good team, selling good products and, working probably internationally. But also in Latvia, probably you could do it, but working internationally would be easier in my opinion. And there's a lot of opportunities. Like I have a friend who sells how to start an Amazon business. I have a friend who teaches how to start an ATM business because you can start an ATM business in America yourself. You don't need to be like a Visa or MasterCard or something like that. But there's like a lot of different opportunities, such as closing clients, like being a closer or being an appointment setter who's setting up meetings and getting a percentage of the money collected from the client who he sets up as a meeting. There's like a gazillion of opportunities. Okay. I think I got this question.
Yeah. I liked what you said in the beginning that your work didn't start as a passion because you need to start trying and doing and looking for things that, you get interested in. Of course, you need to like what you do, right? To be successful in those things. But it doesn't come to you as a present from the sky, like, okay, this is the thing you like. Do it now. You need to do and look for it yourself.
Exactly. No, for me, I'm like, when I started learning about this stuff, which I'm talking about, because as a passion, I wouldn't say my career is my passion. I'm super into sales and marketing, super into that. I love to watch movies about marketing or sales. I love to like do it. And I love the process of it because it's like a never ending machine that needs to be improved all the time. And I like building stuff, such as like a sales team, delivery team, building processes, building some infrastructure for it, because that's kind of my role currently. And yeah, I'm like more interested in it. And you should be curious about what you do. It would be very difficult to do something that you're not naturally inclined to be interested in. It would be super difficult. Mm-hmm. It's much, much easier when you have this natural interest about the subject matter. It helps in general. With a passion, it's not always there's opportunity to actually, you know, build something. You could be passionate about something, but it depends on if other people are willing to buy something about it or do something about it. But what I see a lot of cases work really well is if you're passionate about, let's say, meditation, you could be creating retreats or meditation sessions or meditation groups, and that works very well. Most people want to do it. Most people want to go to these places, because people have problems. They feel stressed. They don't feel calm. So these kind of things can give them a solution. And that's why it works. And that's a good case where your passion can give you money. But for instance, if I would be passionate only about PlayStation games, it would be for me probably difficult right now to do it as a business, but I could probably do it by Twitch streaming, being funny, being interesting. I could be making money because there's a lot of Twitch streamers such as Ninja, who's like the biggest streamer on Twitch. He makes millions from playing video games, but he does a lot of other things that kind of help him to do that.
Yeah. And the other thing you've said about the sales, that you had to learn about it. And I often hear, and I'm saying still about myself, I'm not a good seller. I don't know how to sell. So this is not for me. And I understand that I'm putting myself in a really deep, dark hole by kind of creating this mantra for myself. It's again, just the perception of the things that we create around ourselves. Right. And in the business or in anywhere, actually, you need also to learn how to sell yourself. If you want to get a job, if you want to, I don't know, create a business whatsoever. So what is your tip and trick for someone who is listening and telling themselves that I'm not a good seller? This is not for me.
First of all, what has helped me the most? So I bought like all of Tony Robbins' books, audio programs and courses that he sells, who's the biggest motivational speaker. From him, this one thing helps me the most. Never say something negative towards yourself. Be realistic and understand this one principle. This one principle is this. If you are not good at math, let's say, if you would start going to math classes and invest in good trainers, good coaches, you could become a lot better in math. I wouldn't say like the world class, but I would say a lot better in math. And I love this saying from him that you cannot have everything, but you can have anything. Which is, if you decide you're going to do this one skill, you can get a lot better at it. And another principle that would be useful is to understand that nobody becomes Alex Ovechkin overnight. Anybody who hasn't done skating or ice hockey, he would step on the ice and he would suck. He would not be Alex Ovechkin immediately. With sales or with business, it's the same way. People think it's just like, oh, I'm going to just talk to people. They're just going to give me money. It's the same way with ice hockey. You would not be Alex Ovechkin if you get on the skates. It takes time, repetition, training, learning, coaching. Because we have bought like from Latvians who are doing sales coaching, most of everybody. And when we send them messages, they're like sometimes they decline us. We want to buy their services and they decline us because they're like, you're our competition. So we don't want to train you. And I was like, what the hell? Because most of Latvian companies, they're just selling to Latvians. And that's a real case. Like two people have said that. We send them an email. We want to buy your training for us. Just come and train us. They're like, no. I think you're our competition. And those guys are selling sales training. We're selling basically how to scale your business, how to grow to 10K a month, or how to scale to 100K plus, and helping service businesses mostly, such as construction companies, builders, floor companies, roofing companies, stuff like that. This is a low level of thinking, which is I would not help somebody who is in the same space as me because he can get my clients and I would not get them.
That sounds like a lack of confidence in their own skills, because if they're afraid of you, that means that they think you are better. What I wanted to ask you is about your specific area of focus. You work with, you said, constructions, with builders. But if, for example, somebody, small, I don't know, service-based company comes to you, or even individual, can they work with you? Like, for example, there are many coaches and therapists or meditation people who are actually might be listening this podcast, and they are looking for the ways how to sell more, how to sell better.
So in my kind of case, we're a little bit like weird company because we work with Latvian people and we work abroad. So abroad, we only offer a done-for-you service, and that service is specifically for architects, builders, construction companies, nobody else. For English, which is everybody else except Latvians. For Latvian market, we have two services. One is a coaching program, which is for coaches, consultants, service providers, e-com stores making less than 3,000 a month profit and that want to get a 10K. We teach them mindset. We teach them how to generate leads. We teach them how to sell people. And we teach them how to manage the whole process to make 10K a month. And for the other service in Latvia, we help construction companies, builders, service providers to basically scale and grow with digital marketing. But there you have to be at least at 100K plus per year, at least to work with us. Because the price point is a lot higher and we just know that it's not worth if you don't have at least this kind of first step done. Which in my opinion, in business, first step, get to 100K a year. Next step, probably 500 a year, then a million, and then 10, then 100, well, 10, 20 maybe, then it's like ladder. Those are the levels, I believe. I will share like five main principles that anybody who's listening that wants to get to 10K should understand and should focus on, only on these five main principles. First principle, you need to come up with a good offer. You have to have something that is valuable to the eye of the client, which solves a big problem or that provides a huge result that they're looking for, such as more money, more health, more love in a relationship. That's the first part. Second part, you need to have a process to generate some kind of an interest from people. In most cases, organic methods such as Instagram, YouTube, podcasts, it takes a lot of time and energy to get the ball rolling. So we recommend doing some paid ads. Usually we recommend them in social media because you would pay the least for a lead. It could be TikTok, it could be YouTube, it could be Facebook, Instagram. It kind of doesn't matter, but it has to be like a lead generation mechanism or a strategy, which we recommend. That's number two. So generate leads. Number three, you should be focusing on actually selling them. For that, just have like a small CRM, which could be a Google Sheet or some tools like Pipedrive or Trello, which is free. Some kind of mechanism so you can manage these leads. And the goal in this third step is to develop a relationship with the person, understand their current situation, understand their desired situation, and position your solution, your offer, in a way that kind of solves that problem and helps them to get there. And actually, you should be aiming at 20% closing rate, which means you meet five people, one of them gives you money for the services that you're offering. Fourth step is actually working and managing your finances, just having like one spreadsheet which says all of the expenses, all of the incomes. And number five is basically tracking your main activities, such as marketing activities per week, per month, not necessarily per day. We do it in our company per day, and most businesses that make a mil plus, they do it also daily. So activities such as marketing activities, how many posts, how many outreach, how many DMs, what kind of ads manage, what kind of ads launch, that's number one. Second is how many calls, how many SMS as a sales activity. Third should be how many meetings held, how many offers, how many clients, what's the percentage of closing. Next, how many sessions done, how many delivered clients, how many communication with existing client, and that's it. Just these five core things could be the main thing I would focus on if I would want to get to 10K a month. And and then what happens basically when you scale that is just you add people, you replace yourself in a key position that needs a business, that in a business function that needs doing, such as meeting clients needs to be done. So you replace yourself and then you replace yourself in other areas and then you get people that do that stuff and then it just grows. If you do a good job, which is also a very more complex problem. Once you get over, I would say 20 a month, it gets a little bit more complex. But I know people who have done 100K a month just solo. So it's also, I'm maybe not the best person who can talk about this. I have my experience, but the other people from America, they have done 100K a month as a solo guy. Just do yourself everything. But it's a little bit different. Because we're in Latvia, and because I always compare my English guys when I understand that Latvian average income is four times less than American income. So I would say if you could do a million in Latvia, you could probably do 4 million in America if you would be based in America. But it's also relative. Also, it depends on many factors.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing these five steps. I think it's a good point to start thinking about it, even, you know, acknowledging all the things, all the information you need to take into consideration. And then I think I really am a true believer that we don't need to go solo. We can always ask for help. And it's cool to know that you also offer these kind of services, especially for the beginners to be coached. I want to now talk about how you invest in yourself. So you are like never stopping learner. Let's talk about importance of learning and importance of investing in this learning. It's not just like reading one book, which can be beneficial, but going on courses and meeting like-minded people.
First of all, I started just buying books. So that's the most cheapest way to get skilled. It's just like read books and then do stuff. What I don't recommend, and because this is something I want to talk about quickly, you don't need to be an info junkie, which means consume a lot of information but never do stuff. I would recommend don't buy courses or books on any subject. Think about, okay, what is currently my goal? What is me? What is the things that are blocking me? Okay, it's generating leads. Okay, this is the topic. And then buy books or buy courses or buy coaching on that topic. For me, always when I have done this, I basically get more out of it. I wouldn't say just money, because many times it's not money. I don't get money from buying something, but I get skill and I get understanding on the subject a lot deeper. Such as, like, the last course I bought was about offer creation from Todd Brown. Amazing. I spent like 500 euros and we probably have closed like 30% more sales because of that one training for all of the business, which is a lot. And I would recommend in the beginning just buy books. And then what happened for me, I needed more custom help. In books, you get a general help. Then I needed more custom help, which is I have this problem. I want you to look at the problem. I want you to give me a solution on that problem, which I have. And then I started to buy courses, which are coaching programs, which is basically you buy from a person and usually they're from 1K to, like, the most expensive was, I think, 20K as a coaching program, which gives you a community, which gives you a course, and which gives you some support in a group session or sometimes in a one-on-one session help. Next level of that was these masterminds. So I have joined only one mastermind, which is from Sam Ovens, which is Quantum Mastermind. That mastermind was the most expensive thing I have bought as a one product, and investing in myself and also going there, which is flying from Latvia to America. I have done it already two times, which is also a lot of effort. And it's because it's like 16-hour flight, or one time it was like more. So yeah, and it's very important. And I think when you kind of understand this, in the beginning, when you don't have a lot of money, it maybe is difficult to buy stuff or to invest in yourself, but you could do it with books. And then gradually you have to understand that getting skills is more important than saving these 500 euros or 1,000 euros, because without those skills, you could leverage things you don't know already, which can help you to make more money, which will help you to make your life better. Because I have bought a lot of courses which are not related to making money, which is related more to health. Now I'm learning about financial management because I need that stuff and other stuff. Yeah, and it always gives me a return. And for other people, I would say, just try it sometimes. And if it doesn't go, and for me also, I have bought programs for 5K, 6K, 7K, and I really don't like them. And I got nothing out of it. Really? It's like, true story. And do I feel bad about it? I'm like, no. I see what they did wrong so I can improve my product, so I don't make the same mistake for some of my clients. And yeah, and it's normal. Yeah, it's normal. All of this investing is always relative to you, right? If you make 1,000 a month, maybe buy things that are like 100 euros, maybe less. If you make 10K, maybe buy stuff that is 1K, 2K to solve some of the problems you have. And understand that by investing yourself, you're growing faster rather than trying to understand or get everything by yourself. And of course, YouTube, amazing coach, and it's free. But sometimes if you need this extra custom help for you, because most things in YouTube are generic, which means they're talked in a wide kind of idea. And if you want something custom, it's cool to get help because you can solve the problem faster. Yeah.
Thank you. And I love the attitude also, how you set up your mindset and mind on the things. Even if I didn't like it, one person could be moaning and crying about 5,000 spent, but you see them from the positive side and saying, okay, they didn't do a great job, I will make it a better job. And it's always our choice, right? It's always the choice we take in every situation.
But but don't get it wrong. I don't like spending money like that and not getting a return, but it's like, what you can do. It's like you can focus on the negative, or you can just move on. Just like think about it, like for 5 minutes, you're like, okay, that sucked. But okay, let's move on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. It's not like wasting your money and saying, I don't give a F about it. But But if you do, then take responsibility on that. I did it. Okay. Yeah. Next time I'll know better. And this time I'm not going to cry about it. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a good idea.
Let's talk about your team and how you work with your team. Because from the videos I've seen on both on YouTube and on your Instagram account, it looks like you're one big family rather than a boss. And I love your stay sharp.
It's our signature saying.
And energize that kind of also.
Yeah. that actually was made 6 years ago already. And now when people meet me, I don't know why, but they say it all the time. Like they like, hey, stay sharp, stuff like that. But yeah, it was made 6 years ago. And why it was made, it's a cool story. So I was, my first kind of idea, which failed, was be a coach. That was my first thing, right? To be a coach. That was the third business idea, to be a coach. And it failed because I was not making a solution for some stuff. So it failed. And I was making some videos on Facebook. Not YouTube, but just Facebook. And I was like thinking, I see this Grant Cardone, I see Gary Vaynerchuk, I see other guys. They had like some saying at the end of the video or at the start of the video. Grant Cardone at the time had be great. Tony Robbins had something. And I was like thinking, what to do, what to find? And because I wanted to do original. I wanted to think for myself about it. So then I go film a video in the sea, in Latvian sea, which was winter time. And I was doing this. And I said, stay sharp. And I felt in the water. And I was like, yeah, let's do stay sharp. So that was the first time I did it. And then from that video, like people were like, ah, this is so funny. And I basically did it. I basically kept going. And that's how the saying came about. And it is, I think, kind of grew into our company. Like the company's kind of, I don't know, vision or stuff.
Yeah, and it sounds very cool. And it gives you this kind of kick, energetic kick. Stay sharp, like
being focused, awake.
And... all meanings, a lot of meanings you can attach to that. So let's talk about your team. How do you build your team? And what's your, you as a leader of the team, what's your one most important thing other leaders should be keeping in their mind when working with a team?
For me, I think it's very important to kind of set the direction of the company. So everybody in our team kind of knows the direction we're going. That is very important. And then the next tip I would give somebody is to come up with 3 to 5 values that you want your team to kind of think about and to associate themselves with it. So for us, there are 5 things, which is called VESLA, which is an acronym from Latvian words. I can later give you an English explanation, but there's Latvian words. And then we do accountability for our team members, which is everybody sets monthly goals. Everybody then gets evaluated on them. And then we do weekly checkups with everybody to ensure they're on track, on pace, or off pace, so we can adjust some things. And then that helps a lot for us. Our daily stand-ups, which for our company happen at 9 o'clock in the morning. The summary of them is basically we talk about wins of yesterday, which are client successes, maybe the team successes in sales, delivery successes. Then we cover statistics for marketing activities, statistics for sales activities, and statistics for delivering the clients. Then we talk about news, which are the company news. And then we talk about personal news. And then we finish our meeting with this ritual we have, which is this stay sharp screaming, which maybe some people have seen it. That's the end of the meeting every time. If our main guy isn't there, sometimes we don't do it because we have one guy who does it like the best. He's like our Bruce Buffer of media. So it's like, yeah, he's the guy who's always like talking about it. And that's how we kind of keep the energy high. We have everybody knows kind of the rules of the game. This is when we start. This is when we finish. This is what you do when you are sick. This is what you do when you are working from abroad. No, not from office. Our team is, we are kind of not remote. We want to be together. I don't know. I tried this remote thing. I don't know. I didn't like it. I think it's more better when people are coming together because more ideas are being talked about. Maybe productivity is going down, but I think it's going up because we're together. I don't know. I'm not about this remote team thing. But I know people who are crushing it with remote team members. Another thing for us as a company, we never say to anybody that you are my employee or you are an employee. Always we use this word such as you are my colleague, we are team members, or we are a family. That's something that we also, that's something for me personally, because I was working in a company where I felt that I was the employees, just one of the 100 other people. Mm-hmm. And that sucked. And I was like, fuck this shit. I don't want that in my team or in my culture or in our kind of group. So we've never used that word in our team. Like nobody uses it.
And how do you keep your team sharp and developing their skills all the time?
So we have two departments currently, sales department, delivery department. Soon enough, we're going to have an HR department and a marketing department, but currently most of those things I'm helping with. But currently those two departments, for the sales department, we have daily trainings at 8:30. So before the team meeting, they're training every day of the week, of the working week. For delivery, we do it twice a week. And these kind of things, which are the daily stand-ups, which are clear direction, clear goals, that helps to kind of keep the motivation high, keep the energy in the team high, and keeps everybody together. And also, we are, from our values, we have these values that we are never talking bad to each other. And if somebody does it, we immediately try to resolve the problem, resolve the issue. So there's nothing such as that. So that's also, that helps. Because I would say all of our team members have good relationships with each other. But I can imagine once we get above 20, 30 people in the team, it could become some problems because it's like more people and some people just don't like some people. And it could happen, but I don't know yet. So when it comes, then I maybe have an answer for that.
Now you have how many people?
We just hired more, so we have 14 now. It's including me also.
What makes you keep on going and keep this high energy level and, keeping this attitude of the winner and keeping of attitude of constantly growing?
I wouldn't say I'm like always high energy. Like I also get sick. Like end of last month, I got sick. I was like sick for two weeks. I felt super shitty. I wasn't motivated. I was basically binge watching TV shows or playing PlayStation game. And I wouldn't say I'm like always motivated. No, when I need to, I can put myself in a state where I do my stuff and I feel, and other people see it as like high energy and present. That helps me a lot. And the next thing, I just want to do cool stuff. I want to grow my team. I want to get my company to 1,000 people, colleagues. I want to scale to 1 million a year. I want to have something cool happening because I love this saying. Imagine that your life is a movie, like a movie. And think about it. What kind of movie you want to see? You want to see a movie where the main character doesn't take action, doesn't risk, or you want to see a movie where shit happens, stuff blows up, people die, maybe. I don't know. Like, you know, and I was like, I want to have that movie. So that's why I'm sometimes doing some crazy shit, which I probably shouldn't do, which is like jumping into the ice cold lake, sitting there for 5 minutes and then for 12 hours trying to get back normal feelings because you're shaking all the time. Or like some marketing stuff, which we are planning to do a lot more crazy stuff, which is like burning money or walking around and asking people to sell us a pen and giving them money if they sell us the pen, or like street, you know, something like more weird, I think, or more interesting, which people want to see. Because I think now the marketing space is changing a lot to entertainment, not just I can help you. It's more about entertainment and then kind of an offer with some value, but it's more about entertainment in my kind of idea. Like all of the social platforms are changing. It's more about making people laugh, making people interested, or doing some weird stuff. Like Mr. Beast, for example. In this 30-30-30, he's in America on the cover, Mr. Beast. And he is like super viral, super expanding YouTube. He got some offers for $1 billion. Somebody wanted to buy his channel. Imagine that, right? The guy just makes videos. Like, and also he now builds some businesses around the video, such as the burgers, such as the sport bars. It's weird, right? This organic stuff is like it's spreading and it's taking over. You can be making more money, helping more people, reaching more people with organic, but you have to be entertaining. You have to be probably unique. You have to have a strong point of view, and you have to do stuff a little bit different, such as Andrew Tate or Mr. Beast or these kind of guys. So that's what I'm going to do in Latvia for sure. Like be more controversial, more weird, more interesting, more flashy, I guess, maybe. Not flashy maybe in a money sense, but flashy in the ideas.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds cool. I love what one thing that you've said. I think you've said it, and now correct me if I got it wrong, but they say if you want to sell something for 250 euros, let's say a consultation, first you need to buy a consultation for 250 euros.
Ah, yeah.
Like you need to get on both sides. I don't know why it came now to my mind, but this stayed in me so deeply that when I think of how much I'm going to sell my services for, and I think, have I bought services for this price? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am. So I will feel much more comfortable probably selling them for this amount of money.
Exactly. This helps a lot. Yeah. If you have invested in yourself, and I learned this from my mentor, Sam Ovens. I got this from him. I think it's very key because it's get easier. You don't even have to have the skills. You just feel more confident because you have done the same or you have done it like 10 times more money wise. And it's like, how could you not buy this? Like you're going to get so much more. I have bought like 10 times more expensive stuff and I got less. This is going to be amazing. Just do it. You know,
that's a cool message we can leave our listener with. What is your definition of a cool person?
That's a cool, interesting question. I would say a cool person in my mind is somebody, and I would say from my wife, because this is something she actually said to me and I kind of liked it. A cool person in my opinion and in my wife's opinion is somebody who is interested in some subject very deeply and can talk about it for days. That would be an interesting, cool person. And the subject can be anything. Like I have a friend who's like ecstatic about Pokemon cards, and he always could talk about Pokemon cards, like what kind of cards he has or what's the value of those cards. And I think that's a cool person, right? I like people who love something that are really, really passionate about it, and I don't care if I don't care about it, but I just love it. I
love this definition. It's the first time I've heard this kind of definition.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. This is something my wife gave it to me. I was like, I'm gonna use this one. This is what I'm going to use.
Thank you, Nick.
Stay sharp. See you later.
Stay sharp. And if you like this episode, subscribe for more. Join me on Instagram for more backstage stories. Share with your friends. And I see you next episode.